Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and if it's a holiday weekend, that means one of two things is going to happen. Either there'll be 19 people here in the studio, or most of them won't show up like Sean and Ken, and instead we will welcome the return of Dr. T. Joe Teague is here filling in, so this will be the show, and we will see how this goes, as there's a lot of stuff happening this week. We start with breaking news that came out on Wednesday that Jose Aldo out of UFC 176 versus Chad Mendes, which if you look ahead in the schedule, which is only August, Joe's, it destroys that pay-per-view.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a blockbuster pay-per-view
no,
to start with.
No, but I assure you that nobody is paying $60 for Jacare and Musasi.
No, not without these two.
They'll have to, pad that card up some more.
Well, they'll have to figure it out because I don't know who's... there aren't very many people floating around that are available.
Cub Swanson versus Mendez. Ryan on our webpage put that out.
Yeah,
today. That would
be
cool.
Is that cool or is that pay-per-view?
It's not
cool?
Pay-per-view, okay. But it would be a great fight to watch.
Well, I mean, it just happened, though, too. I mean, you're going to have two relatively quick. I mean, I thought Cub for Mendes would be a great fight coming up after, not necessarily right now. It's, I don't know.
Because of the turnaround?
Yeah, it's a very quick turnaround.
Because it's not like he came out of that fight, and we'll talk about that fight here a little bit later on. It's not like he came out of that thing unscathed. You know, Stevens took it to him at a couple points.
Yeah, well, one round.
Up five.
Well, it's still 5 minutes that I would not want to be on the losing end of Jeremy Stevens punching me in the head.
Fair enough.
So that's happening. And also, we talked a little, well, not a little bit. It's unfair to say a little bit. We talked a lot about Chael Sonnen on the Facebook page because he was, well, the first word was he was fired from the UFC and Fox. And they have quickly kind of backpedaled on that and said it's some sort of loosey-goosey suspension for being naughty?
They terminated his broadcasting deal. So that doesn't mean they terminated him from competition or from his full contract, which means he isn't the best and brightest free agent out there, because if they completely terminate him, Bellator, WSOF, anybody else will love to have Chael Sonnen maybe not fight, but commentate and do anything else under the sun for them. He's a red-hot character right now.
What was interesting about this, Joe, is how this all came about. Is, of course, we talked about the May 23rd failed test and how we thought, okay, well, he's coming off TRT. We're all still trying to figure out this elusive forest of how do I stop cheating legally. And it comes out that he's using it for fertility, and he kind of plays us all against each other, and we're like, okay, well, let's just kind of see how this whole thing pans out. And then Saturday night it breaks that he's failed two other tests, so has four banned substances in his body at one time. Here is where it gets to the point where the UFC has to do something, terminate his contract, suspend him, something, is that the May 23rd test failure, he actually fails that test, knows that he fails that test, and then puts more stuff in his body to fail yet another test. Because the two elements that were in his body for June 5 were not in his body on May 23rd when he failed the first test.
Yeah, both tests would have tested for those things.
Yes.
Exactly what you're saying. And this is a history of things that have happened too, right? So he was charged with felony fraud in a real estate deal a few years ago. A couple years back, he actually tested positive for PEDs, if you guys remember, and then he negotiated just a 6-month suspension.
Sure.
And now he's had two more tests fail since then. Which is, okay, so he's failed a bunch of tests. Well, here goes his credibility. He was on Fox Sports 1. He was on, you name the media outlet, criticizing Wanderlei Silva for running from the gym, criticizing all kinds of guys.
Vitor Belfort. I mean, he didn't really do to Vitor what he was doing to Wanderlei, but he certainly was kind of going, well, let's see if Vitor could test clean to fight me.
So he's a walking contradiction at this point and lost all his credibility.
But to your point, this week Dana was asked about what's going to go on with Chael, and this is what he had to say.
He doesn't pretend to be an MMA expert, but boy, he's digging in and learning, and he's very concerned about refs and judging.
This is him actually talking about Scott Coker, but he's going to get to the
negative
the
not at all.
Crazy Chael Sonnen
ask. These guys are going in the right direction. It's like night and day compared to the old regime, and everything is, I couldn't be happier.
Here's Chael Sonnen.
And with what they had done with Chael in regards to the two drug tests, I mean, obviously we've seen the repercussions that have come from that. He's already temporarily suspended. I'm sure more is going to come down. What is your stance on everything that's happened with Chael in the past few weeks, sir?
It breaks my heart. You know, I care about Chael very much. You know, me and Chael have had a very good relationship, you know, behind the scenes. He's a great guy. And he had four banned substances in his body.
You even kind of went to bat for him there right when the first test broke, and then this happens. It has to be somewhat discouraging for you.
It is. You know, the relationship that I have with him, when he took the test, I would expect him to come to me and say, hey, listen, I got some bad news for you, you know? It sucks.
It does suck, and it raises a question that, you know, at the beginning of this soundbite, where Dana says he's a great, is he really a great guy?
Yeah. Is this a facade?
I know a lot of great guys that wouldn't lie to my face, especially if I was in charge of helping them move their career along.
It's getting real shady. I'm not a colorful, the face of it, and right in your face is constantly always poking and prodding. I've never, it's trash talking, that's never been my MO. I don't care for that type. But for the most part, he did it in a manner that, with rare exception, seemed to be somewhat controlled and proper. And for now, looking back, seeing that this, I actually was on his side, you know, for fertility, having to have children and stuff. It's difficult. It's not everyone can do it. You have to do what you have to do. I thought it was cool that they were going to kind of let it go. But as more and more layers of this onion get peeled back, it's hypocrisy. And that does not resonate with me. And I don't think it resonates with fans in the long run.
It discredits his whole career, really.
It does, but... You know, one of the on Twitter when this broke on Saturday, you've got to ask yourself some interesting questions about the culture, not only of the UFC, but of the United States and you know, the American culture, as it would be called, because not 5 minutes after Ariel Helwani breaks the story that he gets popped again for two more banned substances, not 5 minutes later does the UFC Twitter account post a photo of Dana White with Mike Tyson. Why is that relevant? Well, Mike Tyson was convicted of rape. Mike Tyson beat up his wife. And yeah. So to me, those two things are a little bit more egregious than cheating on a performance-enhancing drug test that I think largely in this room we would agree there's a lot of people on it in MMA that haven't been caught yet that might at some point. And so if this is going to be the thing, and I don't disagree, because if you get tested on May 23rd and then you go put more stuff in your body to see if you can get past it, something needs to happen. But for people who are like, good riddance, he's going to be gone, he's a liar and a cheat, I don't know that that's necessarily true, because we have a really, really difficult time remembering the past. And you're going to get to the point where we just forget that that happened and he'll be back on Fox by December.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the pinnacle of what we consider America, it happened in the White House. It's not going to get any better. If it happens in the UFC, I mean, if they can happen adultery in the White House.
Sure.
Funny you say that. It reminded me of Bill Clinton saying, I did not have sexual relations. Looking everybody, America, in the eye, lying dead
to our
face.
And we do forget.
We do forget because now when Bill Clinton walks around, you know, not that I want to turn this into a politics show, but, we're excited to see him come to our town.
You mentioned Tyson. How many more movies is he going to wind up getting out? He had his own comedy tour for a minute there.
That people loved, and they got, and I'm not saying you should get over rape, but we got over it and put him in a different light because he says he's a changed person. And whether or not he is, I don't know, because I don't know Mike Tyson. But what I'm saying is, if you think this is the end, you are wrong. He will be back on Fox before the end of the year. I assure you that that is a fact.
Sure.
I assure you of that.
It does show, I mean, he's such a valuable guy, just short of a champion, but he would fight in two different weight classes. He would...
On a moment's notice?
Yeah, he would commentate. He was on FS1. Any place you could put this guy, he would do it, and he would kill it. So it shows that even...
Apparently he was on four substances in order to kill it. So, I mean...
Have the stamina to keep up with all that broadcasting.
Dana, I had to be on it just to make all the Fox broadcasts that you have all the time. Sending me to New Zealand and then back to Texas and all. I just had to be on it. And like I said, we'll talk about those two cards in a little while because they raise some interesting questions. But those are the big breaking news stories out this week, Chael Sonnen and, of course, Jose Aldo out. The other, I think, exciting news is Ariel Helwani was talking this week about TJ Grant. And if you're a fan of TJ Grant, good news is that that concussion he suffered over a year ago, it seems like he's finally getting that under control and might, big might, but might make an appearance back in the UFC, let's say October, November-ish, if he can get clearance. But good news for him that he's at least getting back on the track. Regardless of if he ever competes again, it's nice to see that he can kind of get whatever happened
Absolutely.
To him under control. And on to the big, big weekend. We've got, what do they call it? Red, white, and fight weekend, as we've got two fights back-to-back. We have a Hall of Fame ceremony, which is really quite interesting, and a card that I think looks good. I wouldn't call it stacked versus a card the next night, which is clearly a spotlight fight for BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar as we try and make this into a weekend. And Ken and I talked about this last week. Is this what the UFC wants to build this weekend into? Is this entire event almost like the Comic-Con of mixed martial arts? So yeah. You've got they did the media day on Thursday. Right. They do the weigh-ins, and I think they do the Hall of Fame on Friday. Then you've got the event on Saturday and an event on Sunday in the same arena, you know, one day apart. It's like they're making this into a big, huge weekend, which I think is very cool, and a stark contrast. Joe Teague, you know, you and I talked about before the show, a stark contrast to what they did the weekend prior, which is
awful.
Two throwaway cards that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But this weekend, Chris Weidman steps back into the ring to see if he can remain undefeated against Lyoto Machida. It's been an interesting back and forth between them, and by that I mean there hasn't been much back and forth at all. In fact, Lyoto earlier this week mentioned that he has a great record against undefeated fighters, which is a truism. Mm-hmm. But in the next breath goes, you know, it'd be really cool. I could move down to 170. Okay, well, what
is that?
What happened? Well, why would you mention? What happens if you win the belt? Like,
he just came from 205.
Right. Like, if you could go down to 145, why didn't you do that like 10 years ago?
Right. I'm looking forward to this fight. This is gonna
be. Are you really?
Oh, so much. Yeah. Are you kidding? You aren't?
Here's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing the evolution of Chris Weidman. I've seen a lot of conversation on Facebook and had some with some friends of mine about, well, who has he really fought? And, you know, what's on his resume? Why, you know, why are you so high on him? Well, I'm high on him because he destroyed Anderson Silva twice.
Greatest of all time.
Twice. Yeah. Once by just standing there and letting Anderson touch him and his leg exploded. Another time by knocking him out cold. And he also bested Munoz. He bested Damian Maia. And, like, those are not bad fights to have on your resume. I get it. You don't want to put him on the pound-for-pound ranking really, really high up. Totally agree with you. He's got to do a lot more before he gets there. But make no mistake, Lyoto Machida is no slouch, but I don't see Lyoto having a chance in this one.
Well, he's got a couple things going for him. His counter-punching, right? So Chris always moves forward, and Lyoto is brilliant at counter-punching guys. And if you're charging at Lyoto, he can always touch you and put you to sleep. He's got those great angles. He's one of the best anti-wrestlers in, you know, the whole league, which is Chris's bread and butter. So it'll be a great fight, in my opinion.
It'll be challenging. I think it's going to be more challenging for Weidman in the long run than you think, E. I think it's going to be that weight drop changed. I didn't like Machida. You know, I was never a big fan of him. This the Karate Kid and the whole, I get it. The fundamentals are there. It's sound, but no one ever executed like he did. And I still had a hard time believing it because you saw peaks and valleys
sure.
with him.
Yeah, he was very inconsistent.
So now with this weight drop, now going down, he's crisper. He's a little more clean. He seems to be quicker, on point, and he does, like you talked about, having defensive. You know, he is a very counterpunch guy, but he does seem to be more on the offensive a little more now. It's interesting. I do think Weidman will win, but I think Machida has a far greater chance than I think you actually are giving him credit for.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. We've said on this show for a long time that the weight cut for Machida, he looks great at 85. I don't know what he would look at like at 170, and I don't even know why we're talking about that. But at 85, he does look great. That said, I think all of the talk of the anti-wrestler, to me, is a little bit disingenuous to what Weidman is as a well-rounded fighter. Yes, wrestling is his bread and butter, but it's not like he's going out there to George St. Pierre you for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who finishes fights, and that's what he wants to do. He's a guy who studied Anderson Silva, knew exactly what to expect in that first fight, took advantage of it. Disappointed in that second fight because it ended in a horrific injury that nobody wanted to see happen. And I would tell you that I'm sure he would take Anderson Silva a third time as soon as Anderson was ready to do that. Just out of that second fight because you want to prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt you can beat him. I'm not saying that he's going to buzzsaw through him in one round. I just think that he is the better fighter at 185, and I think a really, really tough test for a lot of people.
I think where the anti-wrestling comes into play is that Lyoto's always been weak in his Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's been working with the Gracies out in Torrance, California. But even against Gegard, he just looked elementary on the ground. You remember seeing him? I mean, like, he knew the moves, but he wasn't smooth and methodical. And so if Chris can get him on the ground, I think it's going to be a much shorter night.
I don't doubt that. And speaking of a much shorter night, Ronda Rousey taking on Alexis Davis. Over the course of this past year, I have just become a huge, huge fan of Ronda Rousey. And watching the workouts this week and watching the workouts and watching what she's been doing with her striking this week, I think she just looks frighteningly well-rounded with the fact that she can rip your arm off at any point that she's going to be in.
If Sean was here, he'd be freaking out right now because the last 6 months, you guys have been tearing apart Ronda Rousey. I've always been a fan, so a pat on my own back there. But yeah, one question. Have you ever seen Ronda Rousey kick? All of her highlights, and even in the fights, I'm trying to think, have I ever seen her kick?
No.
Hands.
I mean, even like, it was to be honest with you, I liked that she was, you know, the ambassador for women's MMA. I was never hating on what she was doing. I just wasn't really sold on what we were going to do because she was just buzzsawing through people, and that wasn't really interesting. What interests me in that last fight is she found her sweet spot for striking. And so now she's not just the person who's going to use her judo, take you down and break your arm. She can punch you in the stomach until you just want to leave the octagon.
Right.
And that's what you want to see. Yeah, that's what you want to see from a champion who dominates the weight class, like Anderson Silva did. He could stop you from anywhere until he met Chris Weidman.
Yeah.
And Ronda, I just think, you know, to your point, I've never seen her kick. You've seen some knees, but not kicks.
Yeah, isn't that
and
weird?
I just think to see somebody who's as good as she is growing in those leaps and bounds really excites me about her as a person and a fighter. Still not so much about the weight class because I don't see. You can tell me all day long that Alexis Davis hadn't been submitted, but Alexis Davis hasn't fought Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to? This is the problem with some of these classes, and not just men and women, is that where is she going to go? Who are they going to feed her? I mean, where are they going to find these fighters?
Well, you still have one interesting fight out there in Kat Zingano, who tore through everybody to get the title shot and then injured herself before the Ultimate Fighter season. So you still have at least that out there. Holly Holm, they look like they're going to be bringing her in.
And cool.
That's another interesting fight. But after that, Joe, I don't know.
She's probably grown another appendage by now, but Cyborg is the only person that I think would even be any validity to
and
fight
I just,
against her.
I don't, and we've talked about this, but I don't think anyone's going to touch
her
at all.
She's off the radar, she's on the fan base radar as someone that would be viable to give a legitimate
but
fight.
But what they might do is the same thing we talked about this last week, is their deal that the UFC made with Shoto in Japan to bring in more 125ers and 135ers to create this tournament system overseas and bring in all of these beasts in this weight class. They need help at 125 and 135 because you're running out of people for the champs to fight in those two divisions.
Yeah.
Same with this. Maybe they'll go find another part of the country or another part of the world. You know, they've got a deal with Invicta. They're going to stream all of that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's sweet.
But now we need to start building people up so guys like you, Joe, go, oh, yeah, Sheila's awesome. I've seen her on Fight Pass, and she murders people, and now she's going to fight Ronda Rousey. But, yes, after this weekend,
well, we just named three. Kat Zingano, right? She's next in line. Maybe she'll get a tune-up fight. Maybe
assuming her knee's good.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't heard boo from her since she got injured.
Holly Holm, who they're working on a deal. And then you can't forget about Gina Carano. It sounds like it's not happening yet, but like Gina Carano.
I know.
She hasn't fought.
One and only.
Exactly.
How many years? 6 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a minute.
Maybe after Haywire 2 comes out.
Right. Like, I get why they want to do it, because you're going to get eyeballs on that fight, but that's not.
Well, and she's got the meat to throw around against Ronda to where she could do it. I meant size-wise. I mean, she could.
Speaking of meat.
Like these twigs that have gone against her that just get tossed. I mean, there's a legit there, but I don't see her getting back in the ring.
Well, Ronda Rousey's working with Mike Dolce now. She had the weirdest diet. She would eat like once a day and then have a cup of coffee in the morning. Now she's working with Dolce, and Dolce said she's actually gained functional muscle mass. So she's not only healthier and eating more at 135, but she's bigger and stronger.
If you're
so
Alexis
she
Davis,
feels better. She's I'm hydrated. Like, she's going to come into this fight like
you're
a
just
total
proving
beast.
My point. Who's next?
Right.
Everyone we just named is going to be a non sequitur at this point, if that's true. And she's even more lean and mean.
Yeah.
She already looks.
Well, I think that's a feather in her.
Time.
I know, right?
Did you guys hear the scrum from Wednesday?
No. I guess there was an oddball question in there. What happened?
So they were doing media day, and what happens if you've never been to one of these things? And the only reason I say that is not you haven't gotten in, is that when they do this 4th of July weekend thing, they just open everything to everybody. So fans can hang out and watch the scrums and all. So if you've not been out for July for the July 4th thing, they just bring all the fighters out, and they sit on stools, and they answer 5 or 10 minutes worth of questions to the reporters, and you get to watch that, and then they move on. What happens when that happens is that there's a million other iPhone cameras that are recording this stuff, and so this particular gentleman decides to ask Ronda a question that she's not a big fan of.
So, hey, I watched you on Conan a while back, right?
Yeah.
It was a great interview, and you said that you like to have a lot of sex before a fight because it makes your testosterone rise. I was wondering, are you on schedule to have your testosterone risen to an appropriate level?
Someone who isn't
a I know fight week's an intense week for you, but I'm not sure I've ever seen a workout like this.
So, yeah. Smooth. So, you clearly still have some idiots that get media credentials to ask people dumb questions. And, Joe, to your point, you still have this perception of women's MMA that that's what it is. Like, have you had enough sex so you get your testosterone up? Because that's the only way you're going to win a fight because you're a girl.
We've seen the viral video going out now, throw like a girl and all that type of stuff,
right,
too.
Yes.
That's not at all what I think we are trying to say.
No,
I'm
just...
The morons out there are still very much like that. But her skill level, that's really all it is. Her skill level, her abilities are far superior to most other women in the sport at this point.
Yeah, and when she has said after this fight with Alexis Davis, she's going to take a little bit of a break. She has 3 movies coming out over the course of the next 4 or 5 months. So she's going to do press for that and just kind of regroup and do all of that stuff. And I think rightly so. We talked about this in 2013 when everybody got injured, that it was going to be on the backs of Ronda Rousey and Jon Jones. And most of this is laid on the back of Ronda Rousey because Jones has fought once. Ronda has fought. This is her second time this year. Yes. Second time.
At least.
You know, so most of the pay-per-view buys have kind of fallen on her back. We'll see if Weidman can become a pay-per-view draw this weekend because there's still a fair amount of people who don't even know who he is, even after besting Anderson Silva twice.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big thing for him. Exciting news for a man named Stefan Struve. It was over a year ago we reported he had a heart condition that Dana White said, yep, you're done, dude. You're totally done. And so he went and he saw a number of doctors, a witch doctor, and then drank some weird stuff from a character of Game of Thrones or whatever he did to heal his heart. But he has gone through the process. He has been approved by actual doctors to be competitive, and this will be his first fight back, taking on Matt Mitrione. And he has said, that is Stefan Struve, has said, look, man, I've been watching the entire time that I'm out. I feel great. I've never felt better because I had somebody look at this and kind of fix the way that my body's working.
Yeah.
I'm going to annihilate everybody below number 5 in the heavyweight division. Once we get to number 5, I think you're going to enjoy those fights. But don't blink because I'm going to best all of these guys in a matter of moments.
Young guy, too. He's only 26.
Yes.
They call him the skyscraper because he's 7 foot tall, 260.
He's a legitimate big man in this world, but he doesn't look it. I mean, as tall as he is,
right,
he's gonna fly through Mitrione. The only thing Mitrione has going for him is his thick skull that can take a beating.
Yes.
And it will take a beating.
It certainly will.
So Struve's got a little bit of work cut out to tire him out, but he won't make it past. I don't think Mitrione will make it past the second round.
And one more interesting note before we take a break here. Uriah Faber is on this card. You might not know it, though, because he's, for the first time in his entire career, on the undercard, fighting Alex Karalexis, who's at number 11 in the division, where Uriah Faber is at number 2. And you ask yourself, why is Uriah on the undercard? And Uriah would answer with this well-drafted public relations answer, right, that says, I'm on the undercard because more people will watch it on Fox Sports 1 than will watch it on the pay-per-view.
He said he actually requested that.
Yes. And look, I don't disagree with half. I don't know that I believe the requested part.
Right.
Uriah is a friend of the show, so I'm not throwing him under the bus. But I don't disagree with him, with putting him there. Why? Because people love Uriah Faber, and everybody knows that that slot, while it seemed, oh, you're on the undercard, if you are the final slot on Fox Sports 1, you have the most important job of the night.
Yep.
Is to put on a damn good fight so that people plop down $60, and he is going to do just that.
Yeah.
And that's, I like him. I like him there for that reason, because a lot of people are going to tune in to watch him fight, which is awesome, which will help them get people to transition and upsell him into the pay-per-view. I don't know that he really went out and requested to be put on the undercard. I know I've only lost to champions, and if you take the champion fights out, I'm 30-0.
Right.
But could I please be on the undercard this time?
Right.
Please. I don't want any pay-per-view points at all. Just please pay me the lowest rate possible and put me on the undercard with a guy nobody's ever heard of. Can you do that, please?
Yeah. He calls it headlining the prelims card.
And I don't disagree with that. I think that's an important part of their model for the pay-per-view and why you have Fox Sports 1 and why you look for guys like, in the past, you've seen Jeremy Stevens, one of the guys on there. You'll even see Cub Swan, you know, some of the lower weight classes who are going to put on a clinic.
Yeah.
You put them there so that people go, oh, are you – hey, Joe, are you watching this thing? And then Joe turns on Fox Sports 1, and then $60 later, he's watching the pay-per-view.
Right.
So it's an important part. I don't know that he really went, please put me on the undercard with a number 11 ranked fighter in my Okay. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about what's going on this weekend with BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar, and we'll talk about what happened this past weekend at UFC Fight Night Lord of the Rings and UFC Fight Night Don't Mess with Texas. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with a pair of Joes, Joby Wan Kenobi and Joe T. Dr. T is in for Ken and Sean. So he's got big shoes to fill this week. So he's got to fill not one, but two pairs of shoes.
I'm size 14. Close enough. I'm
Maybe? I don't know, unless Ken's like a size 3, which he might be. All right. You can catch us on Twitter and Facebook all weekend long at Wow Show, as everything seems to be breaking this weekend at a lightning pace. And assuming Chael Sonnen doesn't fail two more tests over the weekend, we should mostly just have results and things like that. As we have Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn 3, the stipulation, which makes it sound a little bit like Vince McMahon planned it, is that if BJ Penn loses a third time to Frankie Edgar, he will be pushed into retirement. And when we posted that question on our Facebook page, lots of people are like, hey, he should have probably already retired.
Yeah. He's coming off of two losses, and now he's going to try and drop weight classes and pull off a W with a guy who already beat him twice.
We actually call that the Marquardt, actually.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's a verb now. Yeah. So I lost twice. Let me fight a guy who already beat me twice. Let's, headline it.
Okay, so this is going to be his, seventh fight. In the last seven fights, there's been one win.
Yes.
Exactly. A draw. I mean, granted, we'll give him, I guess, the benefit of the doubt there. But I would concur that if this is not a victory, if nothing else, even if he wins, it should probably be the end.
So
unless he comes in there with such, I mean, BJ Penn of old, no more coconut syrup, kicking butt and rocking.
Yeah.
Okay, people can fight into their 40s. I'm not all right. That's plausible.
Right.
But I don't think that's what we're going to see. So, I'm encouraged by it. I hope. I'm looking this cuz I'm the nostalgic fan.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this stuff I'm looking forward to that. That looks fun to me.
And I think that's why we're having this fight. There's no other reason why to have this fight except for that there's all of us, I'm included in this, like, man, I remember back in that day when, you know, there wasn't 67 events a year, and I could look forward to BJ Penn fighting,
he could look forward to fighting.
Yes, and he could look forward to fighting, and here we are. I've got a lot of questions about this fight, and I really don't, because – Frankie Edgar really hasn't done a whole lot since their, you know, their pair of wins either, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was always close with Frankie, though.
It's always close with Frankie, and that's always been Frankie's curse, is that. And I think part of that comes from guys like myself and Joe Rogan. One of the things that we liked about him is he walked around 2 pounds heavier than he was fighting, right?
Yeah.
And so we liked that because there was no weird weight cutting, and you knew he was always going to show up on weight, except for the fact that there were guys coming down from 230 down to his weight class, and that seemed to be kind of the difference, because he was faster and he had more cardio, but they were stronger, and so when you manage damage versus output, it would be really, really close. They flip a coin and he would lose 2 times out of 3.
Well, get this. So BJ Penn, his, you know, Achilles heel has always been his conditioning, right? He weighed in at 148 pounds earlier this week because he's working with Dolce. Dolce's just about lived with him for the last 6 weeks. So we may, at 35 years old, see the best BJ Penn. We may not. It's going to be determined Saturday night, or Sunday night, rather.
Well, there is.
But walking around at 148, you know, BJ, he was always soft. And
178.
Exactly.
Well, and there is no doubt that if you are a fighter in the UFC who is not working with Mike Dolce, you should run your head into a wall until that makes sense. Because he can. We talked about Ronda Rousey in the last segment. He changed. Ronda Rousey is undefeated. Most people would look at that and go, nothing I can do. Except Mike Dolce comes in and goes, I'm sorry, you eat what? That's the dumbest thing ever. Let's do this instead. And then she becomes stronger and leaner and meaner. And you get, So if you're somebody that does this professionally and isn't working with him or somebody like him, because there has to be other people in that industry who are not as famous as Mike Dolce, you probably should do that, because at 35 years old, you've got BJ walking around a week before the fight at 148. He needs to drop 3 pounds easy. You know what that means? He gets to eat all week, kids. And if he gets to eat all week, he keeps his energy up, and it's not as drastic on so they're fighting Sunday. So it's not as drastic on Saturday morning when he's got to drop those 2 pounds and then get them right back. So you get two things with my amateur opinion. You get not that drastic weight cut, and you get to eat all week long. And then you don't have to tax your body by putting all of those fluids back in and all of that food the night before to balloon up 25 pounds to hit the hit the mat.
What if we could see, BJ in the first 2 minutes of what we typically see BJ for 25 minutes?
Right.
That's a scary thing.
Well, not only is it a scary thing, if you put him against an ideal opponent, that would be Frankie Edgar.
Well,
those two at their best could be an amazing fight.
Everything you just described, what BJ could be, is what Edgar is.
Yes, which is why.
So it's a perfect scenario for the potential super fight. Potential super fight. We're not going to know until we actually get to see this. But then, that does pose, you talked about what does this mean and what happens with Ben. Edgar's ranked what? Third?
In the at 145.
What's that going to do for Penn? He's not even on any radar.
Well, no,
whatsoever.
He's not on any radar.
But if he comes in and thwarts him, that's just going to screw his rank.
Well,
I mean, what is it going to do for the rankings?
It does a lot to the rankings, and not the least of which is if he comes in and he beats Frankie Edgar, you have two problems. One, there's going to be a lot of people out there, if he looks this good, who are like, maybe BJ Penn could fight Chad Mendes in August. That sounds like a great idea.
Well, no, that's who you give
there
Cub
you
then.
BJ?
Yes.
Chad's Proof ready
Cub.
To go.
He's already, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but if you look at what's coming up for Cub in the future, they're all people he's been beating.
Yeah. Cub lined himself up for,
But if Aldo's out and you can't get a fight and you're a guy like, here's the,
and Edgar loses to Penn, what are you going to do?
And I like this, and here's why, because we've talked about this, is that a guy like Cub Swanson isn't Anthony Pettis. What has Anthony Pettis done in the last 2 weeks? Inked a deal with the Wheaties, inked a deal with the Reebok. And so he's getting paid while not fighting. Why? Because he's a brilliant business person.
Exactly.
That's not to say Cub isn't, but Cub doesn't have the portfolio that Pettis does. So.
Right.
Cub doesn't get paid when Cub doesn't fight. And so if Aldo's out, and you're not going to do an interim championship, you either take the fight we talked about in segment one, which is Cub and Chad Mendes lace him up and go in on August 3rd. Still not a pay-per-view draw, but, you're getting paid.
Fun for the fans.
Yeah, or, like you just said, Joe, if BJ comes out, looks awesome, you ink that for September or October, and you don't think people are going to tune into Fox Sports 1 to see BJ Penn and Cub Swanson?
Yeah, it's on.
For sure.
And again, we're way ahead of ourselves.
Yes. Way,
way, way, way ahead of ourselves.
We're daydreaming now.
And we'll get back to reality here for a second as you get the finals for the light heavyweight fight, Corey Anderson taking on Matt Van Buren. And on the middleweight side, you get Eddie Gorgan taking on Diego Lima. If you've watched the season, you, I'm sure.
Did you guys?
I was getting there. Okay. If you watch the season, I'm sure you're really excited about it, and you can tell me about that I should care about either of these guys. Because as Ken and I have talked about a lot, this has become American Idol of fighting, where everybody who wins, you never hear from them again, really. I think the last guy who won fought last week on an under-under card.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just don't hear from these guys ever. Ever.
They're not getting the street cred like they used to either.
Well, yeah, I think you're and Joe Teague and I, when I called Joe and said, hey, we've got a slot, do you want to hang out? And he said, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. And then we started talking about The Ultimate Fighter. And one of the problems was when this show came out is it really was a test. Is the first three seasons, you were pulling the best fighters from all over the world who right. wanted to be in the UFC. Now you're at the point where you're just pulling people out of, you know, wherever, whatever amateur division you've heard of.
Yeah. I am looking forward to the Ultimate Fighter Latino. I think that'll be cool to see.
That'll
some
be cool.
Latin American
I mean, and that, you know, and I don't want to be disparaging to Uriah Hall. He's on the main event this weekend. And of course, right. Kelvin Gastelum fought yep. last week, who missed weight. We'll talk about him in a little bit. And so you do have some guys, but by and large, it's hit or miss. It's not like every season.
Right.
You know, like Colton.
Like it used to be.
Colton fought. That's who I was thinking of. Colton fought 2 weeks ago or last week on the under card on Fight Pass. And yeah. that guy was a Ultimate Fighter winner that's never to be heard from again.
They've saturated. There's too much out there for. And I talked to E about this before the show, is that it's difficult for a fan to try to. I watched every single Tough episode when they first came out.
Me too.
I clamored to find them. I did yeah. everything I could. If I didn't have cable at the moment, I'd go out to a bar or someplace to find it because I wanted to see this stuff. Now it's. I'm not knocking their skill sets. They're athletes. They're good at what they do. They're probably above average of every other person. Otherwise, when they have a shot, but they're jabrones. They're not the caliber that we used to. And it's a self feeding system that's I don't see getting better.
Well, and what you see from a fan perspective, at least in my opinion, is you see exactly what you get from American Idol. I want to watch the first two episodes where 29 guys fight for the 10 spots in the house, and then tell me how it ends, dude, because yeah. I'm totally done. Also on this card, though, obviously friend of the show, Kevin Lee, is in that ideal spot. He is the last fight on Fox Sports 1 in the undercard before we lead into the main card, taking on Jesse Ronson. Kevin Lee has had an amazing camp. I say that knowing full well that you're going to call me a homer, and that's totally fine. But I know that he has a really, really great camp, and I'm excited to see what happened because his first outing in the UFC was a killer outing. Yes, he didn't win. I get that. But he looked really good for
Absolutely.
A dude who just walked in to the UFC, and I think this will be a really, really exciting fight. When we come back, we will not talk about exciting fights. We will talk about what happened last weekend. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Turn the music up in the headphones.
Way of the Warrior.
Brush your shoulders off, Ruben. I got you. Put it up.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Dr. T. Joe Teague is back in for a one-time performance, and we'll see when we can get you back on the show. But thank you so much for hanging out this
week. Thank you for having me.
As we celebrate Red, White, and Fight Week, we had two fights this past weekend, which begs the question, are we at the point that there's too much UFC? And I say that because you have one card that took place in New Zealand as Nate Marquardt, on a three-fight losing streak, gets to yeah. drop a weight class and become a main event fight against James Tahuna, which, to me, that fight looked a lot like Nate Marquardt was practicing arm bars.
Right.
And got it on James Tahuna whenever he felt like he was good to go.
I was confused. Either Nate looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I was.
Or Tuna. Looked pretty bad. I know it's Tahuna. I call him Tahuna.
Awesome.
It's just me.
So, yeah. So, Tahuna had a two-fight losing streak. Nate had a three-fight losing streak. So, there's five fights lost between the two of them. They got to the main event slot, and it was a one-sided drubbing from Nate at 185, proving that he was right in one aspect, and that was that 170 way too light for him and took a lot out of him to get down that far, and 185 is much better for him. That said, Joe Teague, I do not disagree with you. I'm not sure what I saw either. I mean, Nate looked awesome, but what does that say about James Tahuna?
Exactly. I mean, I wrote my notes. I'm like, Nate looks great, and then I looked back, and I just don't know compared to what.
Yeah. Right. And then the other fight of note, I would say, was that Charles Oliveira submitted for the first time Hatsui Aoki in a great jiu-jitsu match. Probably not the best for the fans in attendance. The 8,000 fans in attendance.
Packed house.
Packed house of 8,000 people.
Well, how many people are in New Zealand?
Right. I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe they all made it out. It was like a town MMA fight. And then also that weekend, you had UFC Fight Night that we were calling Don't Mess With Texas, as Cub Swanson defeated Jeremy Stephens in a decision victory that saw Jeremy Stephens having great success in round two, but took a liver shot in round three that turned out to be the death knell, as he got a couple cracks on and off for the rest of those rounds, but really was not the same fighter after that liver kick, as Bas Rutten would say. You got a victory, and a well-earned victory. Cub did not, that was not easy, and Jeremy certainly had plenty of time to set up what he wanted to set up. Jeremy did not have to defend a lot of takedowns, which is usually what Cub has used in the past to set up those knockouts or submissions. Yeah. That is not what happened. I don't know if they worked in the gym that they wanted. That was the body right. shots was what they were going to do. But he ends up walking out with the win. And like you said in segment one, lines himself up very nicely for a title shot that doesn't exist right now.
I think what the changing yeah. factor for Cub were adding the kicks in. You know, he was traditionally just brilliant with his hands, and he still is. He's one of the most confident guys with his hands, which is fun to watch out there because he's almost just a quarter step ahead of everybody else. So it's fun to watch that. But, yeah, adding those kicks in, I think, were the game changer.
His boxing style was Silva-esque, I felt.
Yes,
yeah, because he's constantly floating. Yep. His hands are low. He's quick enough to not get himself caught, but you have a fighter that's just – at same speed as him, you're going to wind up having what happened, you know, with Silva, where you're being just, you're moving your head and you lean too far back. There's no place else for your head to go. Yep. You get clipped out.
That said, at that weight class, there aren't too many guys that are going to probably test him in that regard. Because Aldo is going to test him with kicks, you know, and not
chop
so much
down.
Yeah. He's not going to so much, look to crack his head back open. Kelvin Gastelum remains undefeated, fighting a guy who didn't have a Wikipedia page, and Kelvin comes in and misses weight, so had to pay the guy that he beat, which I always think is a really embarrassing way to go out.
And he missed out on $50,000 too. He would have got a $50,000 win bonus by missing weight. He didn't get the win bonus, or not win bonus, fight of the night,
bonus. Yeah. I thought, save for the weight thing, which always drives me crazy, I thought he looked really good. This, to me, when I went through, and I know Ken, if Ken were here, he'd make fun of me and my friends. When I went through in the rankings, I didn't move him because I can't move you when you beat a guy who doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
He's young. This guy's 22 years old.
You'd laugh, Joe, but
I know,
like, if
I'm
supposed to rank you as opposed to where you're going to go and who you fight next, you fought a dude that nobody's ever heard of. I don't know. It's the same with the Lamas fight. Not that Hakran Diaz was a bad fighter. That was a really entertaining fight, but for a guy who just came off of a title win,
right.
Is this the guy he should fight? Is another guy out of the same camp that Aldo was in? But I just don't know. I don't know that moved Lamas forward in the way that he would have wanted to get back in title contention.
I think so. Going back to the Jose Aldo fight, Lamas is fantastic. He's really, really great. The problem is Aldo is just out of this world. You know? He's a 1 to 10. He's a 12. Lamas is a 10, and Aldo's a 12. That's the problem. He's just that much better than everybody else in the division.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say for the casual fan? So Joe Teague's here this week, you know, kind of representing the casual fan. The casual fan tunes in on Saturday night and sees these two guys kind of at parity. I mean, yes, yeah. Lamas walks away with a win, but it was back and forth for the entire fight, which as a fight fan I enjoy. But if I were to then turn to my buddy at Buffalo Wild Wings and
right.
go, that guy just fought for the title and now is fighting this guy that nobody heard of and they essentially had a near tie, do you think guy that I'm hanging out with buying beers from is be like, oh, well, they should totally put him back in a
right.
title fight
yeah.
then. No, he's not.
I mean, I even questioned you on the whole, the last Edgar or the whatever, five UFCs ago when Edgar first made the weight transition.
Title fight?
I'm like, did I miss something? Because I am the casual fan. I've missed some things. I'm like, what am I missing? Nope, it's just the name Edgar. No, he's earned that. But he's right. As a casual fan, I'd go, I don't know who that, why is he fighting?
Yeah.
It's challenging.
I think it's what you said too. You know, it's a saturation of the brand. These aren't all, UFC isn't the premium of the premium like it used to be. You have Bellator caliber fighters in there. You've got WSOF fighters in there too. So they're not all going to be like 5 years ago when they were, you know, primarily names that everybody knew because they had a smaller roster and
sure.
they put on bigger fights.
When we need to find the fighters, I just think there's a better way of going, and I'm not,
yeah.
not giving you a solution. I'm
well,
not smart enough to do that.
And I don't disagree with you because, you know, when we started to see all these things, Joe, we had these conversations where I think we may have drank some of the Kool-Aid, and this past weekend kind of woke me up to that
yeah.
because we thought, oh, okay, you want to do stuff for other people. They're not really for us. What does that even mean? What do you mean it's not
yeah.
for me? Why did you charge me $9 on Fight Pass if that's yeah. not for me?
Yeah, that really threw me for a loop when I saw that article. Like, we're just trying to pick up the scraps of the casual view to make them go, oh, that was cool. And well, the problem is that the quality of the fights aren't cool.
And I
not
right.
good.
You know, if I'm being 1,000% honest, I watched the end of the New Zealand card because I was up early that, so I got to see the end of that thing, and then I went about my day, and I came back later that night, and I watched some of the fight on Fox Sports 1.
I'm sorry.
But we, yeah, so, right, here's my point, though, and here's where I go, man, we got to figure this out, because I get to 11:55, right?
Yeah.
And they go right before they go to break, I had just gotten done seeing the Ferreira-Andrew Craig fight. And they go to, which was a terrible fight, and they go to break. They go, okay, when we come back, the co-main event. And I'm going, it's midnight, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to
yeah.
record this. I'm going to yeah. go to bed. I'll watch it and fast forward through it because
right.
you don't, I'm sorry. This has not been interesting enough for me to stay around.
Yeah.
And yes, Joe, we need Dr. T to get back to the point where we have some high caliber fighters and that I can look forward to cards like this weekend. But even this card this weekend, I think needed a couple extra fights to it. I think you combine those two, and you put Edgar and Penn along with Rousey and Weidman. Now we're talking about a 4th of July card that I can get behind
yeah.
100%.
I mean, do you guys remember UFC 100?
Yes, this is, yeah.
yeah the
that's
biggest UFC
what it
ever.
Needs to be.
And it doesn't.
And I don't mean necessarily every time.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
but if you're going to. If you're going to do. Well, if you're going to do tentpole events, right? And by that I mean the UFC has clearly gone, okay, guys, we know you old school fans used to remember we do it 4 times a year and they were ginormous.
Right.
So we're going to sort of do that in this way that 4th of July is one of them. New Year's Eve is one of them. We will do a stadium show. We won't tell you when that is, but that's a tentpole one. And then Super Bowl weekend. Those are the four that you get a year. Well, they better be UFC 100 caliber, and you better deliver every single time. And I think we're at the point where they might want to have another discussion about that, especially when, as we roll into August 3rd, your main event is already destroyed and you don't have an extra plan.
I mean, again, I'm not. These guys are multimillionaires, billionaires.
Sure.
They know what they're doing. Well, at least they lesson learned, you know, A-B test to try to figure out
mm-hmm.
things. At least I would assume that's how they do it. Rarely do you just hit it home run right out of the park.
Right.
But when I'm looking at this, I think they've confused their fan base a little bit, meaning that the fans are fans. They're fanatics. We are not addicts. We are not constantly tapping our veins. I got to have more UFC. I got to have
yeah.
more MMA. I got to. Because it's crap. If you give us high quality drugs or high quality entertainment, now I become an addict and I want to see that show. This is fan fodder, and it's not fun.
And I would say two things to that. One, Walmart is a billion-dollar brand too, but not a lot of people are clamoring to be Walmart. And two, the brand that they're trying to become is football.
And football
doesn't go all year long. And
correct.
So when you get to August, you roll up into those Buffalo Wild Wings and they're packed with guys who are ready to watch some football and they're going to watch it all day long. Why? Because they've got a favorite fan, but mostly they just want to watch football because in 16 weeks, they get nothing.
Correct.
Everything's gone.
Right. And it's, well, not anymore. I was almost at one day. It's 4 days a week now, but for the most part,
it's one day a week.
It's all day. And most people, the wives and the significant others, they're fine with taking the half a day or whatever
yep.
because they know it's fan, it's once. And it's 16 weeks. It's not every weekend, which is how the MMA is turning out to. If you want to see it all, it's all the time, every week. And that's cool, but that's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. And next week when we come back on Way of the Warrior, we will talk about the season system that we're going to install in the UFC of how we're going to fix this. But until then, we get UFC 175 this weekend, and then Penn and Edgar on Sunday night. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.